During the meditation this morning, we'll be starting with the first foundation, contemplation of the body, and then including the second foundation, contemplation of feeling tone, Vedana, and then the third foundation we'll introduce, which you can welcome to play with off and on today as you would like, which is the contemplation of mind states or contemplation of thoughts. So settling in to your position that allows you to be both relaxed and alert. Sometimes helpful to take a few deep breaths, inviting the body to settle. Checking in with the body and noticing any places that you may be holding extra tension. Inviting a softening of the body and allowing the body to be as it is. Inviting a gentle, kind awareness. As you invite in the relaxation, at the same time, bringing in this non-judgmental awareness that allows the body to be just as it is, meeting the body where it is, with loving awareness. As we bring our mindfulness into the body, we may begin to notice the rhythm of the breath, the breathing body, the body being breathed. Inhalation, the pause. The exhalation and the pause, the changing nature of the breath, the sensations of aliveness in the body. The way that we know the body is being breathed. The expansion and the contraction with each breath. Noticing the changing conditions of the body. The body is made of a river of sensations, an ever-changing flow. Nothing solid, nothing permanent. Nothing to hold on to. The body is a manifestation of the changing nature of life itself. And then allowing your attention, your loving awareness to settle in whatever you've been using to anchor your meditation. Whatever comes easiest, allowing your attention to connect there with the body, with the breath, or perhaps with sounds. Wherever is easiest for you to connect with the body. Stabilizing your mindfulness with this connection. Not too tight and not too loose. Cultivating a kind, loving awareness. As we practice with the foundations of mindfulness, you're welcome to stay with the focus on the body, wherever it feels easiest for you to connect with. And you're also welcome, as I offer instructions for the second and third foundation, to return to the body, and you'll see that it becomes part of the whole picture and the other ones as well. Whatever feels right for you at this time, your connection with loving awareness. With the second foundation or the second contemplation, we invite awareness of what's called Vedana, or feeling tone, the accompanying valence of each moment, pleasant, unpleasant, or neither unpleasant or pleasant, what we often call neutral. And the invitation is to know the feeling tone. What is happening in the heart, mind, body, in each moment of experience? Is it pleasant? Unpleasant? Neutral? Inviting in this perspective, this way of holding our mindfulness can support in non-identification with experience. This is pleasant. This is unpleasant. Not me or mine. The changing conditions of the river of our life. And as we note, something is unpleasant. We can bring our awareness to the body sensations that accompany that feeling tone. What does pleasant feel like in the body in this moment? Am I noticing it in the belly, in the shoulders, hands? What's the temperature? What's the texture? And as that moment passes, and perhaps an unpleasant feeling tone arises, what does that feel like in the body? What is the experience in the body of that unpleasant feeling? Is it occurring in the heart? In the neck? Shoulders? Is there expansion or contraction? Change in temperature? The change in vibration or energy in that area. And as that moment changes to the next, not needing to hold on or concretize, and at any point you're invited to rest your awareness with your anchor in the body, the breath. If it feels like it's too busy, too complicated, just a possibility of a way of attending mindfulness of feeling tone. as we've become settled in our meditation practice, the continuity over the days has deepened. You may find that at times the awareness goes to another experience naturally. Something happens in the body, heart, mind, and the awareness is drawn to that experience. At that moment, you may choose to either remain with the body or allow your attention to go to that experience. This is the practice that includes the third foundation, the mindfulness of mind. So when an experience arises, you can bring your attention to that experience. And we can practice with giving our attention to mind states, to moods, to thoughts, and emotions. We may experience these as more complex, including aspects of the body, the heart, and the mind. So at any point, you can return to bringing your loving attention to the body if it feels confusing, complicated. For a few minutes of practice this morning, you're invited to open your awareness to mental states, to what is most predominant in the mind. And as was mentioned last night, you can also note the presence or absence of mental states, not actively searching them out, but just noting that they are present or absent. Sometimes when you're meditating, a thought will arise, and then you'll notice with that thought that emotions will arise. And then you'll notice maybe perhaps some accompanying sensations in the body, certain feeling tones. So sometimes the thoughts will bring about the emotions. Other times, an emotion will arise. And that will bring about a thought or a story. As we open to thoughts, the invitation is to allow the changing nature of the thoughts to be the focus and not the stories themselves. To begin to notice the arising and the passing away of thoughts, stories, emotions, their impermanent nature. Don't need to search or to make the changes happen. Just bringing our awareness to our mind, to whatever is in the foreground. At times, it may be hard to see or experience what's in the mind. Some mind states are more subtle, like non-reactivity, equanimity, or calm. One way to support is to gently invite curiosity into your practice and dropping in the question, how is it now? What is the predominant attitude or flavor in the mind? Sometimes we may find our attention drawn to a body sensation that we might experience as unpleasant, perhaps pain in the knee or the back. And then we might notice the accompanying stories. That propel us into the future, what that pain means, what will happen, imagining from a sensation that's happening in the body in this moment. Or reaching into the past from a sensation that's arising right now. Oh, I know. 3 years ago, this happened, and now this is happening. Allowing those stories to arise and pass away. And also inviting, when needed, to shift the position of the body with as much mindfulness as possible. Inviting kindness into your meditation. When you ask the question, how is it now? And then you pause and allow the sensation to come to the foreground. You might notice some craving, some wanting, a desire for a certain temperature in the room, desire to change your posture, desire for the meditation to be over, a wondering about lunch. You can notice wanting, the presence of craving, the presence of sensual desire. Not suppressing it and not indulging it. You can note the storyline. And notice how it is in the body. With a caring, tender attitude. Perhaps when you drop in the question, how is it now? You can feel some contraction in the body, or else a thought that feels like anger or ill will. Whether the foreground is a sensation or a thought, you can see how the mind and the body and the heart condition each other. Noticing the presence or their absence of anger, the presence or the absence of ill will. Can we be gentle and tender with these minds that have been conditioned in countless ways to think and plan and remember? There's not a fixed sequence to the practice. Whatever tools seem beneficial for you, you can engage and explore, noting that at times we'll get lost in the stories, and that's okay. And that the moment of realizing that we've been lost is a moment of awakening, a moment of being present. Something that happens to all of us during meditation is an experience that the Buddha has called papancha, which is one word in Pali that describes the tendency of mind to spread out and elaborate on experience in a repetitive and obsessive kind of way. You may have some of these frequent flyers during this retreat. A thought that arises and circles and spins into a story passes away only to arise again at a later time in a different configuration around a certain theme of something that's happening in your life. Something that may be happening now or in the past or in the future. This word papancha refers to this proliferation of thought, this repetitive illusion of reality. And the Buddha says that it's common to get caught in these loops that play over and over in the mind. We don't need to take it personally. We can bring our awareness to the body, to the changing nature, the river of experiences. An image that can be helpful with these repetitive patterns is that of thinking of our mindfulness as if we are on the platform at a train station. There are many trains coming and going as we stand on the platform at the train station. Occasionally, the mind will jump on a train, be taken for a ride. And then we'll realize, awaken to that mind state, come back, return to the present moment, allowing our mind knowing that this tendency happens. Don't have to personalize it. Judge ourselves. Can we be mindful of the mind. Begin to know the nature of this heart, mind, body. Invite ourselves into acceptance with kindness and loving awareness. How is it now? As we bring our awareness, our loving attention to the mind states. Sometimes we can begin to loosen the identification with the stories or the emotions. Instead of feeling that I am angry, I am sad, solidifying the concept of a self who is angry, identifying perhaps as an angry person, a sad person. Instead, we can note an angry mind state is present, where this is what anger feels like. This is what sadness feels like right now. Or perhaps contentment. This is a content mind state. A content mind state is present. This is what contentment feels like. As we bring our awareness to the weather patterns of this heart, mind, body, we can begin to see an experience in the body and the heart, the mind, what is happening in each moment with clarity. One of the benefits of bringing our mindfulness to the mind is we begin to see how our mind states, our thoughts, or emotions shape our perceptions, and in turn can color or shape our reality. We can see what happens when we believe the stories. When we let go of the stories, we can recognize for ourselves what it's like when we lessen the grip of these stories and open to the heart of awareness. I'd like to end this meditation with a poem many of you may have heard before, but it's such a potent poem by the Persian mystic, poet, philosopher Rumi. It's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. They may be clearing you out for some new delight. the thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So meeting each moment, an unexpected visitor, treating each guest, each visitor honorably. They may be clearing us out for some new delight, some growth, some unexpected beauty. Thank you for your practice. So there's some announcements before we have some time for questions. So announcements for today is we're continuing with practice meetings. So please show up for those. There are a couple spaces left in mine, three spots. So if you're a newer meditator and you're feeling as if you would really be supportive of your practice to have a practice meeting today, you've already had one for those newer people, you could see there's only three spots. And so this would just be for people who really feel like it might be needed for them. You could sign up in one of my practice meetings for today. I also wanted to mention that we've been practicing for a few days now, and there may be some pain that's arising in the body because we're in this practice that we may not be doing for this many hours and other days of our life. So you may want to change your posture, position, try meditating standing up, or if you've been sitting on the floor, sit in a chair. If you're sitting in a certain chair, you may want to, especially if you're leaning back, you may want to try putting a cushion behind your back. Just really being mindful that the body may not be accustomed to sitting or being in that particular position, and it would be good to try some other positions during the day. Of course, trying to settle during each meditation period in a way that supports your meditation is very, very helpful. There was a question about where are the poems located? So I wanted to refer to that. Okay, and I have a message here. So if somebody would like to sign up for the group, they would need to email the managers because the sign-up function is actually closed. Thank you so much, managers, for helping us with that. So don't actually sign up, but if you'd like to, let the managers know, then they'll help navigate that. So you can email the managers on the link on the page. Thank you so much for that. So as I mentioned, there's only three. So it's just for people who would really need it. We'd really be supportive for you. The location of the poems, I know that all of you have been navigating the bulletin board, as it were, and the poems can be found at the bottom of the announcements, which are actually higher up. So right at the very top, after you go through the announcements, at the bottom of that section, it says these are poems. And so if you've been interested in some of the poems or quotes that have been shared, that's where you will find them. I also want to notice that today is Saturday. And so if you're kind of trying to remember where we're at, today is Saturday and we have a beautiful full day of practice today. And one of the other beautiful things about this retreat is that we have a full day of practice tomorrow, and that retreat ends tomorrow at 4 p.m. Now, if you have a mind that is involved with wanting and thinking into the future at all, you may already know this and have begun to think about that time after the retreat. And so a couple of things that you can practice with that is to know that that's sometimes what happens, and you could gently drop in what the phrase that some meditation teachers suggest of not now. You think about something in the next week and you say, not now, and really honor the preciousness of this moment of practice that we're in, really allowing what you've been practicing with to deepen today during this time period. One of the things that I sometimes say to myself, all the time in the world, like just right now, like I think, oh my gosh, I gotta, this is gonna happen. All the time in the world. It's just a thought, but sometimes it helps. So just remembering, and also that the retreat does go tomorrow till 4 p.m. So that's a really wonderful thing. So don't end the retreat before the end of the retreat. Be with this practice that you're in. Be here now, as we've heard said by Ram Dass. Okay. The other th Are there any other announcements that I miss? Okay. So the other thing that I wanted to mention was that there were a couple questions that people had after the meditation last night, and I wanted to say that this time in the morning is the time that we have for Q&A, and that is how to help preserve the container of the retreat so that we can have silence for people who are meditating. And so we have this time right now for questions about your practice, about the talk, about the meditation instructions. And so I wanted to invite that right now. And I know there were some people who had them last night. So you're invited to ask a question right now using the mechanical blue hand. Kumi, thank you.
Hi, JD.
Hi.
Thank you. I wanted to know the hindrances. I found that I had a doubt, and it was based on fear. And I was wondering if all the hindrances were based on fear. Is that just a question? I mean, big question.
Right. So that is a that can I'm going to invite that to you as a koan. So a koan would be a question that you just hold lightly. All of the hindrances involve a kind of contraction of the mind. And you may find in your experience that the label that accompanies that is fear. So fear may be predominant for you in that. So you may find that when you sense agitation, that you go be with it, and underneath it, it's fear. But it may be different for other people. So I would say that there's a contraction of the body, heart, mind, and that fear might be what's prevalent for you in there. But I would also just hold it lightly because it may not be so. It may be that that just happens to be one of the weather patterns that you know frequently arises based on, the conditions of your life. Because it could be that sometimes it's grief or despair or something else under there. So it there it's I think what I would say is that there's a way that you can drop those questions in, not in a way to like use the thinking mind to figure it out, because now we're at a place where we're kind of settled into our practice and we have continuity, and we don't want to get into the analytical mind where we start trying to figure it out. We want to allow the insight, the wisdom to emerge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And I will do that and also work it as a koan to explore, investigate, to
Right.
answer for myself. Another question, can love and fear exist at the same time?
Well, I'm not a mother, but I have heard that from many parents that it is true. And so, like, for example, there's a fierce compassion that parents often have and other people have for human beings, and this passion to protect and love. And so in the Buddha's understanding, they probably are happening one after the other, but so quickly that our human minds are feeling as if they're co-arising. So they may be like fear, love, fear, love, fear, love, but it actually may feel more like this. And so I wouldn't say that I'm able to discern that in every moment like that, but beautiful questions. And you're,
just wondering,
seeing what happens for you, you know, like, what does it feel like if you're feeling, oh, the sensation of fear can be actually made up of many things. So what is actually happening when that arises? Thank you for those questions. Beautiful.
Thank you.
And Sharon, see, Sharon has hand raised.
Yes, hi. Thank you, Jay-Z. Thank you so much for your instruction yesterday and this morning. It's been so helpful. The question I have is about Vedana and feeling tones. That sometimes I have a feeling that I can't really say, I don't know if it's, I don't know which one it is. So like in one case, I was thinking about my sister and how she had needed me or she had needed some support and I hadn't been available. She's autistic and we didn't used to be close because she used to scare me, but now we're very, very close. So when I thought about her wishing that she could get a hold of me and me not being available and how much I wish I was available, I felt this sadness, but it was this sweetness because I used to just be horrified that she needed me and that I didn't know how to help her. But now I love that she needs me and that I'm available. So I didn't have any aversion when I thought about it. And another case was where I was thinking in a story that I was judging someone and really self-righteous, but it felt great because I was right. So yeah, sometimes I'm confused about which state it is or which feeling tone it is.
There's no one right feeling tone that accompanies a moment. And part of this investigation is recognizing the changing nature. Like, I mean, just to use something more simple than that relationship with your sister, which just sounds like it's been a beautiful area of growth and understanding in your life. Just like, you know, taking a bite of something delicious, you know, there's a point where in your mouth, it's no longer delicious. It's just mush. And I'm not wanting to use that as a relationship to your sister, but just the sense of the changing nature. And that also sometimes things that we think are going to be unpleasant can actually end up being pleasant, so that this intimacy that develops with someone, which may be really hard and crunchy, can blossom into something that's actually pleasant at times. And so seeing the Vedana, seeing clearly this moment by moment changing nature, pleasant and unpleasant, that it may not be the same at all times. And there may be times based on the causes and conditions that you're tired and something that you generally like is unpleasant. Does that make sense? Sharon?
Yeah, yes, it does. Sorry, I had hit the mute button.
Yeah, you're fine.
It does. So is part of what you're saying that it can happen so fast that it might seem like it's two things at once, but maybe it's actually just going really quickly from one thing to another?
Mm-hmm. And I think the focus is more important to notice the changing than actually be like, did I get it? Did I nail it? Because it is changing, it might be like, huh? And so that I can begin to know for myself that it's not actually about me, that this is the nature of phenomena, that some are pleasant, that each moment.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay,
that's great. Really helpful.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right, I see Bud. Hand raised. Want to unmute?
This is Bud. A question about hindrances. I liked your interpretation of coverings last night. And previously I've listened to many Dharma talks, and hindrances were something to get rid of, something to relieve somehow, to get them out of the way. And what I got from your talk last night was that there's a value in just staying with a hindrance for a while and exploring it without having to run away from it.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm also noticing the time, so I'm going to be brief here. I think that the term hindrance, we just like, oh, I got to get rid of this. And so just like shifting that perspective because when we talk about the first noble truth, the truth of suffering, is the suffering is to be understood. I mean, so then there's another place on this, is it's to be abandoned. But we don't want to just abandon it without understanding it. And so getting, yeah, you know, that understanding of, you know, what does it mean to be in that hindrance? Like you're saying, with the practice of it. So, yeah. So that's, I'd say don't be, you know, like there might be a little bit of like aversion to practicing with the hindrances. But I'd say they're very fruitful. We'll hear more about that today.
Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you all for your questions. And someone asked me again to restate about the poems. And so the poems are, there's a section at the top of the, that says announcements, and that the bottom line of the announcements is, says, this is where you can find the poems. And so you should check that out. So I invite you today to continue with this practice of staying with the body, so I made a mistake, and we're supposed to be in practice discussions, which people have been trying to tell me in the chat here, and I went over. I apologize. I was thinking it was 11:15, and now I'm realizing that you were all trying to tell me something. Thank you for my delusion, my ignorance. Good. Okay, pause. Poems, announcements. So at the bottom of the, at the top part of this where it says announcements, then that's where the poems are. There's a line that says link to the poems. So yeah, so we'll be starting the practice discussions a little bit late, so take a short break and get there as soon as you can. So we'll have a few minutes of a bio break and start them in about 5 minutes, so it'll be 10 probably. My apologies to everybody for my lengthy time this morning. Thank you.